The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. When you drive your new Kia Sportage, prepare to be noticed. The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. When you drive your new Kia Sportage, prepare to be noticed.
Hello and good morning. Now to the GGs. It is Grand National Weekend, but one of the greats of the Aintree race will not be taking part.
It is Headhunter and Ruby Walsh, and the further they go, clear. They're round the elbow, they've got less than a furlong to go, and now he goes for home on Headhunter, and the caps, the hats, the papers, and the cheers are going in the air. Headhunter is a winning favourite of the National. Headhunter wins for Ruby Walsh. It's his second National. Royal O'Clair was second. Simply Gifter was third. Back in fourth place was It Takes Time, followed by Forrest Gunner, a gallant fifth for Carey Ford.
Ruby Walsh, good morning.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. Nice memories there.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. 2005 is a long time ago now. Not quite as long ago as James Riley's talking about, but a long time ago.
I know. And it's a sort of, I suppose it's frustrating for you now because your arm is broken, you won't be taking part in this weekend's National.
No. Look, I've had a few injuries in Aintree over the years and missed a few Nationals as it was. But, yeah, it's quite different to be sat at home on the Thursday morning of Aintree and not to be there.
And are you very frustrated or do you just take it in your stride?
I suppose you are frustrated. You're a professional sports person. You want to be at the big sports events. It is frustrating, but look, it's only a broken arm. It'll heal and there'll be plenty more entries.
Yeah. Incidentally, how many Nationals have you missed through injury?
This will be my third. I broke my wrist 1 year and I broke my arm in Aintree another year. So it's the third National I miss.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, though, all the injuries, the catalogue of injuries that you've suffered during your career, have you ever, after one particular bad injury, wondered whether you were wise to be doing this?
I don't know. I suppose when I was lying in the back of the ambulance and downright after breaking my leg, I was thinking, Jesus, is this worth it? But I suppose you go to the hospital and they patch you up and fix you up, and 2 days later you're wondering, when can you get back at it?
And incidentally, when will you be back at it?
I don't know. I've got back for an X-ray and a scan on Monday. That'll tell a bit more. I suppose with a shoulder and upper arm injury, you're talking about ligament and muscle damage as well. And trying to fix ligaments, trying to figure out how long is a piece of string.
Yeah. So you'll just like, you're in Liverpool though for the race?
No, I'm not actually. I'm at home.
I was supposed to go, but
Gillian is expecting our third child, so I'm still at home.
Oh, right. So they're the children in the background there making noise.
That was, yeah, Elsa coming out, yeah.
Right.
Make sure I was okay. I wonder why I was outside the back door, not inside.
All right, so you have to go back and mind her in a minute. And it's a very exciting weekend. A lot of people who never punt from one end of the year to the other actually want to put a few bob on the Grand National. So have you any advice or guidance to provide them with, Ruby?
You can look at the National anyway. Form tends to go out the window, so I suppose that the specialists who do it for a living tend to avoid the Grand National because it's so difficult to pick the winner. But look, if you do fancy the name of one, or you like the colours, or you think you have some sort of a connection to a horse, by all means have a few quid on it. It's that kind of race where any one of the 40 can win it. I mean, most races every day there's probably only two or three horses can win any race, but come the Grand National, for whatever reason, everything seems to have a chance. So if you have any inkling towards the name of a horse or anything like that, by all means have a few quid on it.
Yeah, and I think it's just after 10 this morning that they announced the 40 runners and riders.
That's right.
So Ruby, if you were to bet on a potential winner, where would your money be going?
I would have ridden Prince de Boshin. I think he's a good chance. You know, he seems to be in good form and Willie's happy with him. Looking through form and trying to pick one that's progressing, I thought maybe the package was, but the value seems to be gone on him a bit. He was sort of 40-1 early in the week. He's half that now. But I think there's another Irish horse with a chance called Big Shoe, who could be any price. Peter Mars trains him. He's a small trainer. He's ridden by a friend of his called Peter Buchanan, who's an Irish guy but based in the north of England. You know, for at a big price, for a run for your money, he should jump around anyway, so you definitely get a run for your money.
And I'm just reading the Irish Daily Star this morning, and a telematics expert says he has found a formula to identify the Aintree Grand National winner. Gogglebox star William Hartston, who will be is saying that the race will be won by a horse called Monbeg Dude, who will be ridden by Irish jockey Paul Carberry. What do you reckon?
He could, but look, Monbeg Dude is owned by crowd of English rugby players. Mike Tindall is involved with him.
That's right.
Yeah, he's a chance, but I think some fella that's decided he has a formula as to what's going to win the Grand National. I think he's talking through his hat more so than most of us.
Yeah, well, I'm just reading it now. He says that he used a complex formula involving bookie's odds, the age of the horse, and the letter in the owner's name.
Yeah. Brilliant. It's an absolute classic, yeah. Complex. Everything is complex, isn't it? The more complex it becomes, the more believable it is, isn't it?
I know. And, of course, there are those then, the animal rights people, who don't really look forward to Grand National weekend at all and say the race should be abandoned. What about those?
Look, they're entitled to their opinion, but I guess people in racing don't want to see horses being injured any day of the week, not just Grand National weekend. We're hoping every day they don't get hurt, and I guess these people highlighted it when it comes to the Grand National because it's so well known. But look, a welfare horse is something we're onto every day, so it's no different this weekend than it will be next weekend, or it was last weekend for us.
And Ruby, you got a bit of stick after the fatal fall our Connor suffered at the Cheltenham Festival. You said a few things afterwards that upset people. Have you been getting a lot of stick?
No. Look, my perspective on life obviously was the same as some other people's, but we live in a democracy and I'm entitled to my opinion, as are those people.
Yeah, and is it true that you actually got a few death threats?
No. Waffle. What I consider a death threat when somebody else did are two different things. Someone wishing you were dead and someone actually saying they're going to kill you is two different things.
Right, so you didn't have a lot of people onto you writing you letters and...
No, social media, but yeah. I guess social media is a faceless way of saying what you want to say, isn't it?
Sure. Are you on Twitter, by the way, are you?
I am, but look, I'm 35. What people say about me on Twitter doesn't really bother me.
Does it not? No, you just you ignore it. And what do you? What's the worst thing that has been said about you, Ruby, online?
I couldn't tell you. When I start reading, I just start blocking.
Right. Okay. Because you don't really need that, do you? Because in sport, you need to have a very good, positive attitude about things. So having people
that's your own take on it. If you're worried about what every Tom, Dick, and Harry is saying about you, she wouldn't get out of bed.
That's true.
Look, I mean, it's what bothers me is what the people I love and care are thinking about me, not what some nameless person behind the telephone is saying.
They can have whatever, they can say whatever they want.
They can take it or leave it.
And Ruby, I also noted recently that you met one Alex Ferguson at the Cheltenham Festival.
I did, I know him. I wrote a winner for him, actually, the big race that's on today, the Betfred Bowl. I won it for him in 2010, just after Bayern Munich had put United out of the Champions League, actually. But I know him a long time. He's a great man, and I think United are kind of missing him at the moment.
Yeah, because you had a chat with him, I believe, about United's prospects and how badly they were doing this season.
I was slagging him, as I always have done. I met he was in the air, actually, before racing on Gold Cup Day, and we had a little bit of banter, yeah.
Yeah, I think you told him that one of the big mistakes he made was not selling Nanny about 2006.
I told him that a good few years ago. He was slagging me about something I'd written for him, and I let him know what I thought about Nanny. But sure, look, I'm like any barstool punter when it comes to soccer. It's easy to be the hurler on the ditch.
And do you head to Old Trafford much?
Don't get a chance to go that often. I'd like to go more, but don't get a chance to go that often. But look, it's a great place to go, and if it was giving me somewhere to go this weekend, I'd prefer to be going to Tormund.
Okay, yes. So what do you reckon about Munster's prospects then?
I should have a chance, but Toulouse are very good. He'd prefer to be playing them in Tormund than in France, but they'll have to bring their A game. It'll be a big one. You'd love to see them get through. I think Leinster Munster semi-final will be brilliant.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, by the way, given that you'd prefer to be in Tormund, are you a Munster fan then ahead of being a Leinster fan?
I am, actually, as stupid as that sounds, being a Leinster man, but I played a lot of rugby when I was younger and knew too much about the old Leinster politics, so I decided to follow Munster.
Are you serious? Tell us more about the old Leinster politics.
Not the old Leinster politics, but I didn't attend not the right schools, don't get me wrong, yeah. But the school players definitely got preference then over the club players.
Oh.
And that's all changed.
I see.
The likes of Shane Horgan, guys like that have proven that, but when I was younger. Not that I was ever anywhere near good enough to be considered, but I did play with guys who should have got a chance.
What position did you play?
I was a poor scrum half.
I see. And tell me this. What school did you go to?
I went to school in Racoole, but I played rugby for Naas.
OK, so you just felt that when it came to the Leinster rugby setup, that players from Naas just...
Not even Naas, Carlo, just back then, but that's long, long, that's, what am I, 35 now, you're talking just over 20 years ago, and it's all changed, so yeah. I suppose if it was now, I would be a Leinster fan.
And did you have an ambition to become an international rugby player?
I had the dream, but I was nowhere near good enough. I was lucky to be getting on the Naas team, let alone getting on a Leinster team. But sure, if you don't have dreams, what's the point in doing it?
Yeah, and I suppose a good example of how things have changed at Leinster is Sean O'Brien from Carlo. I think he represents the change in the policy that has happened over the years.
Exactly, and it's great to see it. But you know, Sean is a wonderful player, but I think it changed before he even came along.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, I thought we'd lost you there, Ruby.
So
what will you do? Will you put the feet up over the next few days and just watch the racing, or what's the plan?
Probably will. How much of it I'd watch now would be different. I'd probably be pacing up and down, looking at horses I should have ridden, dealing with that, but that's what you have to do. But yeah, I'd be keeping an eye on it anyway.
So it'll exercise you to the extent that you won't be able to sit down and watch it unfold with another jockey on board?
No, I'd be trying to watch it, but I can imagine I'd be on the couch, off the couch, around the couch. I can just picture myself now, my wife's looking at me thinking I've lost my marbles, but anyhow, we'll see how it goes.
And will you be wishing them well, the
horses? Oh, definitely. Yeah. These are horses you're involved with. I mean, yeah. You're working all year to get a horse to the Grand National, and I'd be hoping Prince de Boshin runs his race. It'll be bittersweet if he wins, but that's the joys of it. You're no different as a jockey to any other sports person. When you're injured, you're out and the game moves on. But yeah, look, this is it's a big week for Willie and everyone at Close Sutton, so you'd be wishing the horses the best.
Okay, well, hopefully they'll all perform to expectations. And Ruby, just a question before I let you go. This morning we are talking about what comes into people's heads when they get up in the morning. The first thing that comes into their head when they get up in the morning. Tell us about yours.
This morning?
Yeah, any morning, any morning.
When I woke up this morning, what did I think? When I woke up, it was still dark. I was wondering what time it was because neither of the kids had come in yet, so I was kind of hoping it wasn't too early.
Yeah.
That was my first thought, I'm afraid. And after that, then my shoulder was a bit stiff, so I started thinking about that. But so that's what came into my head this morning.
And are you on painkillers, by the way, for the...
No, I tend to try and get off them as quick as you can because when you are in real pain, that's when you need them. So if you get used to them, you get immune to them.
Yeah, and one of our listeners just wants to know, are you better off than to be left alone over the next few days to watch? Because, are you grumpy at home when you're injured?
I am. I should be getting better at it. I've had plenty of injuries, but I'm not. I probably am grumpier than I should be. I should be thankful for what I have and not worried about what I'm missing.
Do you set yourself a sort of a deadline for when you might pack in the racing, or will you keep it? Will you stay as a jockey as long as you're humanly possible?
As long as I humanly can. As long as I'm fit and trainers and owners still want me, I want to stay riding. I love what I do. It's my job, but it's also my hobby, and I don't want to give it up and have to go and get a real job.
Okay. Well, Ruby, good luck over the next few days in the viewing of events at Aintree, and all your fans will be hoping that you're back in action pretty soon. But take care of yourself, and
cheers,
we'll talk again.
Thanks, John.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.